from August 13th, 19.
Your Theater of Romance presents June Moon, starring Linda Watkins and Mason Adams. Welcome to Romance, and another gay adventure in love from fiction, stage, and screen, June Moon. And now, here is Mason Adams.
Good evening. This story we dedicate to all the young people who come to the city every year with stars in their eyes and a few dollars in pocket or purse to make their name and their fortunes. A few succeed, the others return. But they all find it's done the hard way, just like Fred Stevens, the hero of tonight's show. Linda Watkins plays the role of Edna, which she created on Broadway, and I play Fred, the fellow across the aisle from her on a train going to New York. Would you care to look at my newspaper?
Oh, thank you very much. I don't think so, thank you.
It's a Schenectady paper.
Well, I could fan myself with it.
Then here, go right ahead. I've been on ever since Schenectady.
Why, I used to know a girl in Schenectady. Her name was Grace Crowell.
I used to know a Mildred Crowell, but her name wasn't Grace.
Oh, well, this was Grace.
Her brother was quite a billiard player, Eddie Crowell.
But that's my name, too. Not my real name, of course. My real name's Edna. Edna Baker.
Mine's Fred. Fred stands for Frederick. Frederick M. Stevens. See, on my new traveling bag, FMS.
What's the M for?
Martin, yes, sir. Right on my new genuine cowhide traveling bag.
It's a beautiful cowhide traveling bag.
Fellas at the plant give it to me. They said I shouldn't travel to New York to become famous with an old bag.
With an old... Oh, I see. A genuine cowhide traveling bag. What are you going to New York to become famous about?
I'm a songwriter.
Oh, like Irving Berlin?
Irving, he gets by because he writes both words and music. I specialize. I write the words. Lyrics, they're called.
It must be wonderful to have a gift like that.
Hey, that's just what Paul Sears said. I guess you've heard of Paul Sears.
No,
he's written 1,000 hits. He wrote Paprika. It was about how his mother was the spice of his life. He called her his old pal. Oh,
that's beautiful.
Mr. Sears come to Schenectady on a vaudeville tour. I went over with the ice cream, see?
Ice cream?
Well, that was the plan. I worked for ice cream.
Oh.
I and Mr. Sears got to talking, and before he knew it, I was sitting at the piano singing some of my words, and he said I was a genius and I should come to New York and work with him.
Why, it's just like a dream.
Why? Guess we're getting into the big city.
Not quite. We're getting near Yonkers, though.
You know, if we were on the other side, we could see the Hudson River.
Yes, it must be lovely. There's a moon out on this side.
Yeah. June moon.
What?
I just said June moon.
It isn't June, it's October.
Well, what of it? They go together, June and moon, they rhyme. I'm always thinking of words that rhyme.
That'd be a catchy name, June moon. For a song, I mean.
You could get other words to rhyme with them. Spoon and croon and soon. Marry soon.
And macaroon.
Yeah. I wish I had some. I'm hungry.
I am, too. Kind of.
Are you visiting friends in New York?
Oh, no. I have a job there in a dentist's office. I was just home for the weekend in Hudson.
Then maybe we could eat together when we get in.
I know a wonderful place called Little Venice. Wonderful Chinese food.
Is it expensive?
Oh, no, it's very inexpensive. The last time I was there, there were two of us, and it only came to $1.20.
Fine, I guess we can each afford 60 cents.
Paul. Paul? Mr. Sears. Mrs. Sears wishes to inquire if you're sure that new lyric writer's going to show up tonight.
Fred Stevens? Sure. He phoned a little while ago from Grant's Tomb.
Grant's Tomb?
That's what he said.
Well, he'll feel at home if he ever gets here.
you never said things like that when Paprika was a hit.
That was 2 years ago.
Well, I still don't think your remark was funny.
It's just envy, dear. I envy anyone who goes out at night, even to Grant's tomb.
If that sister of yours would only get out and get a job, maybe we'd have some extra dough to spend.
Leave Eileen out of this.
She says Hart's crazy about her. Then why doesn't she get him to publish one of my songs?
Well, she's out with him now. But she's more interested in getting him to publish a diamond bracelet.
Now, there's Stevens. Be nice to him, Lucille. There's no kidding myself. I need him like Sears needs Roebuck. Just a second. Why, hello, Fred.
Hello, Mr. Sears.
Come on in. This is Mrs. Sears, Fred.
How do you do, Mr. Sears?
Hello.
Well, it's an awfully nice, quiet home you've got here, Mrs. Sears.
Yes, Mr. Stevens, we never leave it.
I've been traveling around New York so much since I got here, I'd almost forgotten there is such a thing as home.
Well, that's not so good for a songwriter.
What spots have you gone to, Fred?
Oh, almost everything in New York, Mr. Sears. The Empire State and Staten Island and the Goddess of Liberty. Do you know she cost $1 million and weighs 225 tons?
She ought to cut out sweets.
What kept you in Grant's tomb tonight, Fred?
Oh, I wasn't right in the tomb, Mr. Sears. I was seeing a party home between supper and my date with her later.
Well, why didn't you bring her along?
Her feet get tired at the dentist's.
What kind of a dentist is he?
She works for him. This party sort of gave me an idea for a song I've been working on.
Good, good. Now we're down to business, Fred. What's it called?
June Moon.
Another war song.
Lucille. What's it about, Fred?
It's about love.
Have you got any words down?
Well, just some ideas, that's all. The verse will be about a fellow who's met a girl in June when there was a moon shining, see? And then something happened so that she went away. Or maybe he went away. And then whenever he looks up at the moon, he thinks of her. That's the first verse. In the second verse, she'll be doing the same thing for him.
That's fair enough.
Well, I don't know. Another moon song. Let's go over to the piano and try some chords. Huh?
I got the idea coming in on the train. I happened to look out of the window with this party and I saw the moon. Huh?
Eileen, what are you doing home?
Oh, that so-and-so heart stood me up.
I don't know. I've seen hundreds of moons, but suddenly I said June moon. You know how us songwriters work.
Who's that over there with Paul? Little Abner?
Quiet, it's Paul's new lyric writer. What happened with Hart, Eileen?
Oh, he had me paged to the telephone. He said he just had to take the train to Philadelphia.
I think Hart's giving you the runaround.
I'd like to see him try.
I figure that not only a lot of people get married in June, but also a lot of people fall in love in June. Hey, Mr. Sears, there's a blonde with no clothes on talking to your wife.
Who, me?
It's just a strapless evening gown, Mr. Stevens.
Oh.
Eileen, meet Paul's new lyric writer, Fred Stevens.
How are you?
Golly.
This is Miss Fletcher, my sister.
Golly.
Mr. Stevens comes from Schenectady, Eileen.
Oh. Have you been in New York long, Mr. Stevens?
Well, just long enough to begin to know my way about. It sure costs a lot of money, New York.
Did you buy it from someone?
Oh, no, I mean to live here.
Oh.
For instance, I had breakfast at the hotel this morning, and it was 60 cents for salt mackerel and fried potatoes and a cup of instant postum.
A few more breakfasts like that, and you won't need money.
Oh, I've got plenty. Almost $500.
$500? You've been seeing the Goddess of Liberty in Grant's tomb with $500?
You haven't even been to a nightclub yet?
Well, no.
Well, you should. How do you expect to know what's going on in the song world unless you get out and go places?
Well, songwriting's a business, isn't it, Paul?
Well, there is a lot to this game as business. You don't just write a good song and expect to have publishers come looking for you.
They are, Mr. Stevens. Paul wants to go. And he can meet some of the prominent people, like band leaders, singers, people who plug songs into hits.
I'll go change my clothes.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got a date with a certain party later.
This is business, Mr. Stevens. Stevens, you can't let dates interfere with business.
I'll be right back.
But I've got to stay with a certain party. I guess they didn't hear me.
No, they heard the rustle of green stuff.
I guess I'll have to make a phone call. Can I use your phone, Mr. Sears?
Oh, sure, sure. Want a phone book?
No, I know the number.
While you're phoning, I'll wash up.
Eddie, this is Fred.
Oh, Fred, you didn't get lost in the subway again.
Oh, no. I'm here at the Sears right now.
Oh, well, it was sweet of you to call and tell me you got there safely.
Well, what I really called up about was I'm afraid I'll be sort of late for our date.
Oh? How late?
Well, quite late. The fact is, there's no telling how late. Mr. Sears and I have to study some songs.
Ready to go, Mr. Stevens.
Is that Mr. Sears in the room with you, Fred?
It's Mrs. Sears, Eddie. I'm speaking on the telephone, Mrs. Sears.
Go right ahead.
I better hang up now, Eddie. I'm terribly sorry I can't keep that date with you, but writing songs is a business. You have to make contacts, you know.
Well, are you ready, Charlie, whatever your name is?
Who's that, Fred?
Somebody with the wrong number. Good night, Eddie.
Hello, Schenectady.
Is Mr. Hart ready to hear my and Paul's song?
He ain't come in yet.
Gee, I wish I'd known Mr. Hart was going to be late. I could have slept some more. I didn't get to bed till 7 this morning.
That must be tough on a man whose hours used to be his own back in Schenectady.
Eileen found two new nightclubs last night. Then we had breakfast and I don't know where the time went.
Look, kid, are you falling for Eileen?
She's like nobody I ever met before, Maxie. She starred in a musical comedy, you know.
Starred? Yeah, she starred straight from the left.
If Mr. Hart buys June Moon, well, maybe I could ask her to marry me. Cole Porter makes $500,000 a year on his songs, they say. A man could marry a girl on that.
If she was satisfied to ride a bicycle.
Mr. Hart! Oh, it's you, Eddie.
Hello, Fred.
Well, what are you doing here?
I don't mean to intrude. I've called your hotel a number of times, but you never were in. I thought maybe you were sick or something.
Well, I've been busy working day and night.
Oh. Well, I just dropped in to see if you were sick. I'll be going now.
Oh, no. Stick around. I'd like to have you see what's what in my publisher's office. Maxie, I want you to meet a party I used to know, Edna Baker. Eddie, this is Maxie Schwartz, Tin Pan Alley's top song plugger.
Hello, Miss Baker.
Hello, Mr. Schwartz.
Maxie and I were just going to run through my hit, June Moon.
You finished it? Oh, how wonderful.
Would you like to hear it, Miss Baker?
I don't want to interrupt.
Well, we ought to rehearse anyway. Mr. Schwartz is going to play the music for me and Mr. Sears.
Ready?
June Moon shining above. Well, my true love, come soon. June Moon, I am so blue. I know that you long for her too. Sweet nightbird, winging aloft, singing a soft love. June, tell her to come to me here, to me and her dear June Moon. You like it, Edna?
It's beautiful. Beautiful, Fred.
You think so?
Maybe you two got things to talk over. I'll go wait in Hart's private office.
Tell me when he comes, Maxie.
Sure.
You really like June Moon, Edna?
Oh, yes, Fred. I never dreamed it would be so beautiful.
Oh, it'll be the biggest hit in years. Everybody will be singing it.
Everybody singing it? I always thought it would be just ours together until... I didn't mean to come here today, but I've been so worried about you.
I told you I've had to go out nights, meet people, singers like, orchestra leaders. It's called making contacts.
Oh, it must cost an awful lot of money.
Oh, sure, but as soon as I get my advance royalties on June Moon, I'll be in the chips. That's what they call money here, chips.
Oh. Do you always go alone to these places?
Oh, no. I and the Sears go together.
Nobody else?
Well, every once in a while, Mrs. Sears' sister, Miss Fletcher, she goes along.
Oh. What's she like?
Eileen? Oh, she just goes along because the Sears don't want to leave her home alone. She's timid.
Is she pretty?
Well, she's... I suppose she'd appeal to some men, but she just goes along while I make contact.
Is she older than I?
I don't know, I tell you.
Oh, please, don't be angry if I ask questions, Fred. I just want to know that everything's all right. You're so ambitious, Fred, and so idealistic. I don't want to see anybody shatter your dreams.
Well, I can take care of myself.
Of course, but there must be 100 songs written every year. Not all of them can be hits and bring you fame.
There are almost 1 million written and sent into the publishers on Tin Pan Alley every year. I got the figures straight from the horse's teeth. And out of all of them, only 20, maybe 25, get to be hits of any kind. Only 2 or 3 real hits.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't want anything to hurt you. So many people get hurt in New York. I hear about it all the time at Dr. Zabriskie.
Well, he's a dentist.
Well, I mean, they tell me about it in the waiting room.
Oh. Well, I certainly appreciate your worrying about me, Eddie, but you don't need to. Oh, hello, Mr. Hart.
I can't see anyone today, son. Come back next month if you're still around.
But you've got an appointment with me. That was Mr. Hart, my publisher, Eddie.
My, he was in a hurry.
He's the biggest publisher in the business. With a snap of his thumbs, thousands of hits. Makes and breaks songwriters. He's quite a joker. He likes to pretend he doesn't recognize people.
He probably didn't expect to see you with a girl.
No, he was just a...
Hey, what? You named Stevens?
Oh, me? Yes, Mr. Hart.
Come in here.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hart. Stick around, Eddie.
Have a chair, Stevens.
Thanks, Mr. Hart.
Have a cigar? Pass him the cigars, Maxie.
Well, golly, thanks, but I don't smoke.
Mr. Hart wants to talk to you about your song, Fred.
Oh? Oh! Well, thanks. I will take a cigar. Thanks.
Here's a box of matches to light it with.
Maxie was telling me you're the fella who's been taking Eileen out.
Why, yes. Yes, only on business, of course, while I've been making contact.
A nice girl, Eileen. Good company. Fine family.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sears have been like a mother to me. And Eileen's like a sister.
I hear it's a good song you and Sears have written.
You like it?
Don't have to. I'll take Maxie's word for it. How will $1,000 advance do?
You're going to buy it?
I'll have a check for you tomorrow. Now you better phone Eileen.
But Mr. Hart...
Find some place to take her. Don't worry about the money. There'll be more when you need it.
But Mr. Hart...
No, don't thank me. I want to see you and Eileen happy.
But Mr. Hart...
No, don't call her on my phone. I've got to call Cole Porter in Hollywood.
Eddie, I... Oh, hello, Eileen. I was just going to phone you.
Who's Eddie?
A party I know. I left her out here in the office.
She was that drip in flat heels. I told her who I was, and she left. It's hot in there?
Yeah. Yeah, he's... Izzy! He just bought Jewel Moon, Eileen. I and Paul are in the chips.
He bought that song?
It's going to be his biggest hit. I get a $1,000 check tomorrow and more to come. Hey, where are you taking me?
Oh, you and I are going places.
But I ought to call Paul and tell him.
Call Paul? Well, I know a nice phone booth right in the middle of Saks Fifth Avenue.
Maxie, you won't believe it, but Crosby's singing Jewel Moon tonight.
I ain't surprised, Paul. I've worn out my radio dial trying not to listen to it.
Come clean, come clean. Did you really think it would be a hit when Hart took it?
Coming clean?
Yeah.
No.
Now, for the 10th straight week, the nation's number one hit, the lovely song written by Paul Sears and Fred Stevens, Jewel Moon.
Stevens in Technicolor.
Hello, Maxie.
Some suit you got on.
It's tailor-made by a tailor. He took my measures just like a prize fighter. 38 inches around the chest, 33 around the stomach.
You don't look so good around the eyes.
Eileen's been buying for a hope chest these last few days. Golly, if she runs up charge accounts like this one, she isn't my wife.
Tomorrow, she will be.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have some time to talk things over then.
You ain't seen so much of her, huh?
Hardly set eyes on her for 2 weeks now. Sometimes I think I might have been better if I hadn't got engaged.
I read of a case once where a man got engaged to a girl and didn't marry her. In Michigan, I think it was.
Say, have you got a clipping of that?
No, but my memory's pretty good. For instance, whatever happened to that nice little girl who was here to see you? Miss Baker, I think her name was.
Maxie, you haven't seen Eddie, have you?
No. Why?
I guess I shouldn't be thinking of her at a time like this, but...
Are you?
I don't know. Sometimes I remember it was Edna inspired me to write June Moon, and I...
Oh, well, what luck, Fred. Well, hello, Maxie. How much did you get from Hot Fred?
Well, I haven't seen him yet, Eileen.
Well, you better do it fast. I'm picking up a dress at Hattie Carnegie's in 10 minutes.
Eileen.
Yeah?
Do you really want to go on our honeymoon to Miami?
Now what?
Well, I've been thinking. Maybe we could stay here. You can have a lot of fun around New York. Have you ever gone on a picnic over to Coney Island?
In a Hattie Carnegie dress?
Well, there's other things a groom and bride can do.
You're not getting cold feet, are you?
Oh, no. I'll go in and see Mr. Hart now. Will you wait for me?
Oh, I've got so many things to buy, Fred. I won't have a minute to spare until tomorrow.
You mean I won't see you between now and the time we plight our vows?
Well, Lucille and I have several appointments. The hairdressers after Hattie Carnegie's and then a pair of shoes. And I do need another negligee.
Eileen.
Oh, don't blush, Fred. You just go in and see Hart. Here's the last kiss. Until tomorrow.
Just a minute. Why, Fred, what are you doing here?
I'm sort at loose ends, Paul. I hope you don't mind my dropping around.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah, the day before the big day, eh? Want a drink to buck you up?
No, thanks.
Thought we wouldn't see you until the church tomorrow.
Well, I just been to the office. I had to get some more money for Eileen.
Oh.
I didn't have anything else to do, so I thought maybe we could get in a few licks at another song.
Yeah, I could use some more money coming in. Lucille's been spending dough like crazy. Like Eileen.
Is Mrs. Sears getting a new dress this afternoon, too?
No, she's in the bedroom there asleep.
Oh? I thought she and Eileen had a big afternoon plan together.
Oh, no, they made separate plans this morning. Well, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Lucille and I were out so late again last night, she wanted to catch up on some sleep this afternoon. Did you and Eileen have yourselves a time at that Broadway opening?
Broadway opening? Eileen spent the evening with you and Lucille getting her hope chest fixed.
Oh?
Didn't she?
Are we talking about the same thing?
I don't know. I'm talking about Eileen's hope chest last night.
What's a hope chest?
It's a chest a girl has when she's going to get married. Like Eileen, they put their things in it. I told her about all the girls back in Schenectady having hope chests, and first thing I knew, Eileen had one. She started the night you and Mrs. Sears went to the opening of the 400 Club. I wanted to come over, but she said she was staying home. Hey, where are you going?
Not very far. You sit right there. Lucille! Throw something around you and come out here. Yes, now.
Golly, Paul, I just dropped around to do a little work.
I'm doing a little work right now.
What's the matter, Paul? Oh, it's you.
Hello, Mrs. Sears.
What's Eileen up to, Lucille?
Up to? When?
Where's she been these times she was supposed to be with us?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe you think I'm as innocent as he is, but I'm not. Fred's my collaborator, and he pulled me out of a hole. And I want you to come clean about Eileen's game these last few weeks.
If you two want to discuss some little things, I'll just...
Sit down.
Yes.
Well, Lucille?
All right, old pal. It's Hart. Eileen's been going out with Hart every night for the last 2 weeks. Daytime, too.
When she's marrying me?
Hart and Eileen were a pair when you were peddling ice cream. Then they split. In fact, Hart bought your song so you'd keep Eileen off his neck.
He did?
Eileen and I saw through that, even if you boys didn't.
Yeah, I wondered myself. Now, what's this about her and Hart being on fire again?
Well, that's the payoff. Fred here played such a sucker, dressing her up and giving her such a good time, Hart bounced back.
I can understand. She's the kind of a girl men dream about. Say!
Nope, it's been written. Look here, Lucille. Was Eileen going to marry Fred anyway, but still see Hart?
I'm afraid she was. That's why I refused to go with her anywhere this morning.
Well, cheer up, Fred. You found out in time. Every young guy in New York or anywhere gets played for a sucker at least once.
I suppose so.
And, Fred, you know you did make a sucker out of Hart. June Moon was a hit.
Yeah. He's paid me a lot of money because of it. Gee, I was a fool in love.
Say!
Sorry, Fred. That song's been written too.
I'm not thinking about a song. I'm just thinking Eileen's got all those new clothes charged in her name.
Why, Fred?
I've been to every dentist in a phone book looking for you, Edna. I wish I'd remembered your dentist's name was Zabriskie.
Well, did he tell you I'm not working for him now?
What? He didn't get fresh, did he?
Oh, no. I made a mistake. I gave Mr. Protzman's appointment to Mr. Hoffman, and he scraped Mr. Protzman's gums instead of Mr. Hoffman's. My mind just wasn't working, I guess.
Eddie, did I ever tell you that you were my inspiration for June Moon?
Why, yes, Fred. You did. Several times.
Oh.
It was quite a long while ago, though. The last time you told me.
Suppose I say maybe you could inspire me to write another. I love you, Eddie. I love you. I want to marry you. In fact, I'm ready to marry you right now. And please don't, well, don't think me commercial, but I've already got a honeymoon boat ticket to Miami marked Mr. Frederick M. Stevens and wife. That is, if I can change my wife.
Oh, but Fred, that's too expensive for us. I'd just rather spend money on a home. Oh, not a big home. Just a little bungalow for two.
A little bungalow for... Hey, bungalow for two. That'd make a great song title. Listen. In a bungalow for two, dee-da-dum-dum-dum, dee-da-dee. No, it's been written.
Not for us, Fred. Not for us.
Your Theater of Romance has brought you June Moon, directed by Albert Ward and adapted by Charles S. Monroe from the play by George S. Kaufman and Ring Lardner. Linda Watkins starred as Edna and Mason Adams as Fred. The music, except for the song June Moon, was composed and conducted by Alfredo Antonini. Now, Mason Adams returns to tell you about next week's romance.
What happens when a blonde bombshell of a motion picture star explodes in the middle of a small town family and finds the boyfriend of the family's nice young daughter, oh, so handsome? That's the triangle we propose for you next week when we bring you the great Broadway and Hollywood success, Personal Appearance. Join us then, won't you?
I'd like to remind you that all programs aired on same time.